Lawrence, let's go to Genesis 49, chapter 49, book of Genesis, and we're back on schedule tonight with Consider and Receive, Learning from the Field of the Slothful, somebody that didn't make it. Okay, Brother Anderson, come on and sing for us tonight. We'll enjoy the song, and then we'll jump in tonight. Thank you, Brother Gene.
All made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living above us, never molested. No, in the road farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand him all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand him all by and by. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. We'll understand it all by and by.
Brother Gene, thank you tonight for the good song. All right, we're going to be on Reuben tonight. going to talk about Reuben out of Genesis 49. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the good meeting so far. Now, we're going to be in your word for a little while, so I pray that you'll speak to our hearts from it, which is what we really need help with tonight, is some truth from your book that will, Lord, solidify our faith, help our lives to mount to something for you, and keep our testimony, and not end up like some of these folks we've been studying in your book. Help me tonight, in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, our person of interest tonight doesn't really fit the full profile of the previous people that we've looked into, because his life was not a total failure, and people still name their sons Reuben every now and again, especially if you live out in the Mennonite community. There's a lot of those out there. I tease my wife every now and again because their neighbor was Reuben, and Reuben had a crush on Joyce. He was a Mennonite. So I tell her, say, if I hadn't come along, or he's an Amish. That's what he was, Amish. So horse and buggy Amish. And I said, see, if I hadn't come along, you'd be riding in a buggy nowadays. Amen. But anyway, I tease her a little bit about that. But some boys still get named Reuben once in a while. But the bad thing about Reuben is the lasting impression of his life, unfortunately, is negative. So we're going to look at him a little bit tonight. Let me talk, first of all, following the same format of these lessons. What do we know about Reuben? Let me give you five things quickly. Reuben was the firstborn son of Jacob and Leah. Reuben, it was found in Genesis 29. Then, number two, Reuben committed a horrible sin with his father's concubine. That's in Genesis 35. But he committed a horrible sin with his father's concubine. And you have to wonder how much his dad's life was an influence in that area. I mean, Jacob literally fathered children with four different women, and that's just incredible. But anyway, the next thing, Reuben talked his brothers and stepbrothers out of their plan to kill Joseph. That's Genesis chapter 37. You remember when Joseph came approaching, behold, this dreamer cometh, and they literally intended to kill him, right? And Reuben talked them out of that, said, let's put him in the pit, and he intended, that was my next point, Reuben went back to the pit in order to deliver Joseph, only to find that he had been sold to the merchantmen who were traveling to Egypt. So, and Reuben talked his brothers out of killing Joseph, and with the intention of going back and taking Joseph back to his daddy, I suppose, but it was too late. He'd already been sold to Egypt. And then I'm going to say number five, that Reuben was involved in the cover-up with the others about what happened to Joseph, okay? That's Genesis 37. He was part of the crowd that took the coat back and said, Dad, sorry, but we found this. Look here, man, a beast must have devoured your son. And I've often said, and I think we've said from the pulpit here, I've often wondered myself, every time I read that portion of Genesis there where Joseph reveals himself to his brethren, and they're all so happy that he's alive. Joseph's alive! Joseph's alive! Yay! Wait till we tell Dad. Joseph is alive, you know. And they had to go back and tell what they'd done. But Reuben was all a part of that cover-up with the others about what really happened to Joseph. So that's a little bit about his life. We don't know a whole lot about it beyond those really five major points right there. So what can we learn if we do what Proverbs says in chapter 24? We go by Reuben's field and we consider it. What instruction can we receive? I'll give you three lessons tonight. We'll wrap it up. Number one, I want to say this, reaching our potential is not a given. Reaching our potential is not a given. Now, I want you to see chapter 49 here. Look at verse number 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. And then he speaks right away to Reuben. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. So I want you to see there are five things he said about Reuben there. He said, you're my firstborn, you're my might, you're the beginning of my strength, you're the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. You know what he's saying there? Reuben, you had a ton of potential. You had a ton of potential. All of those things are all positive things, positive benefits for Reuben. Now, the firstborn held so much potential because of all the special privileges that were given to that particular son. Not just in his own person what he was like, but all the things that went with the benefits of being the firstborn. And that's what Jacob is referring to here. Being the firstborn entitled him to a double portion of all the inheritance that were given to the children when the father died. If I understand it right, and I can be corrected on this, if I understand it right, here's 12 boys, okay? And so when Jacob dies, they divide everything up into 13 portions. Not 12, but 13. And Reuben gets that extra portion, as I understand it. Now, I may not be quite right, but that's as I understand how it went with the double portion, okay? So he had that. Then he says, Jacob refers to him as his might and the beginning of his strength. And what's he talking about there? Well, with a healthy boy growing up, helping his father, the output of work would be doubled. You've got the strength of youth that would be Reuben's coming along at the time that maybe Jacob would start feeling the weakness of his latter years. And he couldn't physically do as much, but because Reuben was that oldest son, he said, "You were my might and the beginning of my strength." You know, I've said a couple of times here recently that, you know, when you've been blessed to have children, they get a lot of you. You don't realize how much they get done for you until they're all gone. And now you're back to doing it all yourself again. And so Jacob said to Reuben, "You are my might and the beginning of my strength." But that's not all. Then he said, "The excellency of dignity is yours." What's he talking about there? He's talking about the dignity of being designated as the priest for the family. The dignity of being designated for the priest as the priest for the family. Now, next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we're going to be on another fella, Korah. And you remember when Korah had that dispute with Moses in Numbers chapter 16. Okay, this is before, when Reuben lives, this is before the priesthood was established. Okay, priesthood is not established until the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt. So when Reuben is alive, the oldest son assumes the priestly duties for the family. So that was given to the firstborn. So the dignity of being designated as the priest for the family. He was the go-between for the family, between the family and God, between God and the family. It was wrapped up in the firstborn. And then he says that he had not only the excellency of dignity, but he had the excellency of power. What's he talking about there? Well, it's just the power of influence in all family matters started with Reuben. Okay, so if there's some family decision to be made, it includes Reuben, it starts with Reuben. So basically what he's saying is there's so much potential in what Reuben received being the firstborn son, not to mention his own personal potential that just went with his personality, his character, and so forth. So Reuben had a lot of potential, and yet sadly, that potential was not realized. Because look at what he said in verse number 4. As soon as he said that, he said, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." Now, the word excel means what you think it means. It means to go beyond. It means to exceed, to jut over, if you will. And so what he's saying here is, Reuben, you've got all these blessings, all the benefits, all the advantages that go along with being the firstborn son, and you had the opportunity to excel, you had the opportunity to go beyond, you had the opportunity to exceed, to jut over the top of what would have been normal success for any young man in his day. Reuben, you had the potential to go far beyond that. Reaching potential is not a given. In other words, just because you have potential doesn't mean you'll ever realize it. Just because you got it. And by the way, everybody in this room, every person has a measure of potential. But just because we've got a measure of potential doesn't mean we're going to realize it. You know, there are a lot of blue chip prospects that never realize all the potential that existed in their life. And here's what it seems to me. It seems like these can't miss prospects who just have success stamped all over them, you know, they not only don't reach their potential, they don't do anything sometimes. They don't amount to hill of beans. I mean, they don't amount to hill of beans vocationally, spiritually, anything. They don't get anything done compared to what they should have been done, what they should have gotten done. A person with potential, that doesn't mean just because you have potential that you're going to realize it. How many times have you heard that said about an athlete? That something went wrong, something didn't go according to expectations, and potential was lost. I don't know if you... And it's not that that player never lived up to his... He didn't just live up to his potential. He never did anything. He wasn't even good enough to ride the bench. You know, I don't know if you guys that follow... And I was thinking about this week because I actually had this done for last Wednesday night, so it's kind of been on my mind. And, you know, I was thinking about that. Okay, who is a good example? And you know what the Lord brought to my mind? It's an illustration from sports. If you guys would remember the name Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf was a star quarterback for Washington State University. He broke all kinds of records as a quarterback for that college up there in the Northwest. He was a Heisman finalist that year. He didn't win it, but he was a finalist. I think he came in second place. He was the second overall pick in the NFL draft. He lasted less than 4 years in the league. He bounced around from team to team. And a group called NFL Top 10 voted him the number one draft bust in all of NFL history. Now, how'd you like to have that distinction? You are the number one draft bust that has ever existed. I mean, he came out of college with so much hype. He came out of college with so many accolades and all these things and gotta have him. And I didn't research it out, but it wouldn't surprise me if whoever drafted him traded up to draft him. And the guy never did anything. Never accomplished anything. And then you got, you know, and I'm not necessarily a New England Patriots fan. I told you that. I didn't have a dog in the fight. But Tom Brady's a sixth-round draft pick. Sixth round, just won his fourth Super Bowl. So just because you have great potential, it doesn't automatically mean that you're going to realize it. Possessing great potential doesn't automatically mean that it's going to be fulfilled. I think about the parable of the talents over in Matthew 25. You know, the master, the Lord, the servants came along and he passed out talents to all of his servants. And you know the story. The Bible says he gave these talents, listen to this, to every man according to his several ability. He gave to every man according to his several ability. And you know what happened? To one man, the Lord gave 5 talents. To another man, the Lord gave 2 talents. And to that one fella, he gave him 1 talent. So here's the thing, folks. There was a varying degree of quantity. This guy had 5 talents. This guy had 2 talents. This guy only had 1. But all of them had the same potential to double the investment. All of them did. And that man with 5 talents... He realized it. He took those 5 talents. He invested them. And when the Lord returned, he said, here is what you gave me plus what I have gained. Gave him 10. Here's a guy with 2. He goes out and he doubles his. So he's doubled his potential. I mean, he's doubled the investment. He had the ability to do that. He realized it. He put it to work, put it to investment. Here's 4. Here comes the man with 1 talent. Now, his quantity may have been less. He wasn't a 5-talent man. He wasn't even a 2-talent man, but he could have doubled his investment. He could have reached some potential with that, but he didn't do it. He buried it, and he squandered his potential to double his Lord's investment. I just want to say this tonight. I believe with all of my heart that the Lord of heaven, not some man on earth, but the Lord of heaven has invested everybody here, everybody in this room, with some measure of potential. And I'll tell you something, folks. It's up to us. Of course, with His help, to reach it. And just because, you know, you're birthed in a family that rears you in church and you've been sheltered from all the heartaches of the world and sheltered from so many evil influences. And I mean, you know, everybody looks at you and says, man, that's a can't-miss kid. Can't-miss kids often miss. It's sad. It's just sad. Blue-chip prospects often don't turn out to be blue-chip at all. Just because you have potential doesn't mean that you're going to realize it. And that's what happened with Reuben here. Reuben, Jacob said, you had it all, man. You were the firstborn. You had the power, the excellency of power, the excellency of dignity. You had might. You had strength. You had it all. You had a ton of potential. But you've not excelled. And you won't excel. You're not going to reach your potential. Now, why? Are we told why? Yes, we are. And here's the reason why sometimes people don't reach the potential that they have. Number two, being unstable causes us to miss our potential. Being unstable causes us to miss our potential. Look at what he said in verse number 4. He said, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. So here's the reason. You are as unstable as water. And it's interesting to me that Jacob uses water to describe how unstable Reuben was in his life. You're unstable as water. You know, to be unstable is to not be steady. It is to not be constant. It is not to be resolute. It is to be wavering. And water is the perfect example of what it means for a person to be unstable. Water adapts to its environment. Water is controlled by its surroundings. Water is controlled by its environment. It does not control itself. It's controlled by its surroundings. When it is cold outside, I'm not telling you things tonight you don't know already. Water has three stages or three forms. It can be a liquid, it can be a solid when it's ice, and it can be a gas when it is a vapor. But water doesn't determine what it is. Its surroundings determine what it is. Its environment does. It doesn't control itself. It's controlled by the environment. When the temperature is below 32 degrees, water is a solid. You got ice. When the temperature is above 212 degrees, water is a gas. You got vapor. You got steam. You got it coming off out of the teapot. When the temperature is between 32 and 212, it's a liquid. And that's water in its most what? Common form. Right? So water is a liquid in its most common form. Probably the most helpful to mankind. I think man benefits from all three kinds. I think man benefits from water being found as a solid. I mean, you like ice in your water, you like ice in your tea, you like ice in a Coke. And it's one of the things that we had to learn, talk about cultural differences between the Midwest and the South. When you make sweet tea, you don't put 2 cubes of ice in the glass. You fill it all the way up. All the way up. Now, you come to our house for something to drink, that's how you're going to get your ice. But my wife had to be trained to do it that way. And you say, well, why didn't you let her do it your way? Because I wanted my way. That's why. Or let her do it her way. I wanted my way. I think we benefit from having ice. I know we benefit from having vapor. Man, the railroads used to be powered by steam engines. So did ships. Huh? But water in its most common form, most beneficial form, is a liquid. And that, by the way, I don't know if I had read this letter. If you've seen the news at all, what he talked about in Brazil, that drought down there, that's real. That's not just some missionary thinking something up. It's in the news. They're in a terrible drought. Horrible. So water in its most beneficial form is a liquid. And, you got 180 degrees to play with there. From 32 to 212. And that big, broad range, water is a liquid. Now, I had this thought today. Listen carefully. Most of life is fairly normal. Like the 180 degrees from 32 to 212. But the extremes, the pressure, is when you and I are tempted to be shaped by our surroundings. When it gets less than 32 degrees, water solidifies. When it gets more than 212 degrees, it vaporizes. It's got 180 degrees of normalcy, where it's in liquid form, and most of our life as a child of God can be found in that 180 degree range between 32 and 212. It's pretty common. But it's when you and I get in those extremes, when it's extremely cold or extremely hot, when the pressure is on us, you know, the truth of the matter is, then we stand the best chance of being shaped by our surroundings. Shaped by our environment. And that's what happened to Reuben. He didn't excel because he was like water. Unstable as water. Reuben, you are not in control of yourself. You are enslaved to your surroundings, just like water is. Now, for us, we benefit from all three forms of water. Ice, liquid, vapor. But God's people don't benefit from being like water. And that's what causes us, folks, not to reach our potential. It's not good for us to be controlled by our surroundings. It's not good for us to be controlled by our circumstances. It's not good for us to be controlled by the environment around us. And you know what the amazing thing is? He could not control himself. There was a time when his passions were overcome by the temptation around him, and he committed a horrible sin with his father's concubines. And even though that sin was far in the past here in Genesis 49, it was indicative of Reuben's root problem. You're not stable. There's nothing inside of you, Reuben, that can rise above the circumstances. Not something inside of you, Reuben, that can stand firm in spite of what's going on in your environment. And friend, that's exactly what water is. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. You know the interesting thing about Reuben? The interesting thing about Reuben is that he could control others, but he couldn't control himself. When his brothers were going to kill Joseph, he talked them out of their plans. He calmed their anger. But his own passion, he wasn't in control of. You know what that tells me? The most difficult tongue to tame is our own. The most difficult spirit to control is our own. The most difficult mind to contain is our own. The most difficult eyes to guard are our own. The most difficult person that we have to deal with is us. The most difficult person I have to manage is the one I look at in the mirror in the morning. And the most difficult person you have to manage is the one you look at in the mirror in the morning. Reuben could control others, but he could not control himself. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Now, we know somebody who was the exact opposite of Reuben. Reuben did not excel. Daniel did. In fact, it is said about Daniel two or three times that he had an excellent spirit. He had an excellent spirit. The thing we remember about Daniel is that he was not controlled by his surroundings. Not, and by the way, friend, he was in a far more difficult place than Reuben was. I mean, he was away from his home, away from his family, away from everything that he had known as a little boy, hundreds of miles away over there in Babylon. He is surrounded by the king, the pressure of having the king's meat and drink offered to him, and he turns it down. He says, no, we're not going to do that. He has the pressure of being told not to pray, and he says, you know what? I'm not going to be an idiot. I'm not going to go out on purpose make the authorities mad, but I'm not changing how I've practiced my Christianity or my religion all of these years. I'm going to keep praying as I always have. It didn't matter what was going on around Daniel. He was steady as a rock. When it got below 32 degrees, he was still liquid. When it got above 212 degrees, he was still liquid. There was not a time where Daniel went from liquid to gas or liquid to solid. He stayed the same all the way through, and because of that, he had an excellent spirit. He excelled as opposed to Reuben, who did not excel because he was unstable as water. Let me say last of all tonight, number three, that wasted potential is a self-inflicted wound. It's a self-inflicted wound. I want you to look at verse number 4 here. Look at what Jacob said. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. It's like Jacob said, Reuben, there is nobody to blame but you. You went up. You did this. There's not a brother. You can't put this on any of your brothers. You can't put this on anybody else. No other brother contributed to this. You stand alone to answer for your wasted potential. It is a self-inflicted wound. I want to tell you, fam, in Matthew 25, that servant who wasted his potential, he was not in trouble because they only had one talent. He was in trouble because he wasted the one that he had been given. Now, I tell you what, I don't want to, if God has given Terry Angel a certain measure of potential, I don't want to waste it. And I'm saying potential, I'm not saying potential maybe in the business realm, but it would be across the board. Your character, wherever God has you, what's your potential as a husband or a dad? What's your potential as a mother or a wife? What's your potential as a young person? What is it? Whatever it is, you don't want to waste it. Just because you've been given potential doesn't mean you're going to realize it. There's got to be some character. There's got to be a level of character, a level of self-control. And you know, I won't even go there tonight time-wise, but the best way to have self-control is to be under spirit control. The only one that can really control self is the spirit. Self has a hard time controlling self. It's the spirit that controls self. But don't waste the potential you've been given, man. Don't waste it. You know, we all have been given some measure of potential. Just because we've been given this potential doesn't mean that we'll realize it. If we are unstable, it will cause us to miss it. Unstable as water, you are not going to jut over. Unstable as water, you're not going to reach the top. Unstable as water, you're not going to exceed. You're not going to excel. You're unstable as water. There's nothing inside of you that rises above the circumstances, above the environment that you're in, and has a firm grip on how you believe. I was going to take you to 1 Timothy chapter 4, what Paul told Timothy over there, continue in the doctrine, and you watch yourself and you continue in the doctrine. You be careful what you do. You be careful what you believe, Timothy. You get that settled way deep down inside of you. Get that fixed. Get it settled. And don't waver. Don't be affected by the outside circumstances. Don't be affected by the environment. If we ever have to admit that we didn't reach our potential, we're not going to be able to look at somebody and say, no kid will ever look at their dad and say, it's because of you that I didn't reach my potential. No kid will ever look at their mother and say, no brother will ever look at a brother or a sister. We won't be able to point the finger at anybody. If we don't reach our potential, folks, it's a self-inflicted wound. And I mean that. Self-inflicted. It's because ourself, was not under some measure of control by the Spirit of God. Don't let the circumstances affect you. What you believe, how you live. Rise above that, like Daniel did. Excel like Daniel. Don't be unstable as water, like Reuben. Thou shalt not excel. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Just some simple thoughts on the life of Reuben from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. That was very fast and quick. And I pray, Lord, that it was not lost because of the quickness with which it was given. I pray, God, that You'll help us not to be like Reuben. We're going by the field of these people who had difficulty. They didn't come out of life positively. And we're supposed to learn something. And I pray, dear God, that You'll help us to avoid that lack of character, that lack of firmness, that the being affected by the environment, the circumstances. God, help us to be like Daniel who rose above them. Please help us to reach the potential that You've given us for the glory of God. Not for our own glory, but for Yours. Every person in this room, I pray, in Jesus, and especially the young people who have it all in front of them. May they reach it, I pray, in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, give us just a verse of invitation.